Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of Jawanza for Life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Great to have you along. It's a beautiful day. Glad to be alive to share it with you. This is a very, very special edition of Jawanza for Life. I am very, very pleased to have as my special guest someone who is a regular on Jawanza for Life, and he is a very, very busy brother, and we are very fortunate to have him back as my special guest this afternoon. His name is Orowa Hehi Metura Nkamit, and he is a member of the Osaraset Society and has been a member since 1975. And he was appointed Orowa, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Shechem Ra'un Nefer Amen, who is the chief priest and king of the Osaraset Society. Now, as Orowa, he's responsible for guiding the lives of Osaraset's members and the Society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the Society's Kerihab priesthood and headed the Osaraset's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University. And without further ado, I want to get to my special guest, Brother Orowa Hehi Metura Nkamit. Great to have you back. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life, sir.
Setiful, how are you doing? Good to be back.
Excellent. Great to have you back. Ah, man, it's been, just with you going all over the place. I mean, you're a busy, busy brother, and so that just, knowing just how busy you are, it just makes it that much more special to me, just to know that between, you know, doing all of the work that you're doing and that you find time, you know, you make time to be a guest on the show, and I'm so grateful, and I'm sure my listeners are as well. We like look at the archives, and I can see that people are constantly tuning in and listening to the shows that you do on the 11 Laws of God. But tonight, we're doing a special show, and it's titled God Knows Best. We'll be talking about the Yi King divination system tonight. So, Brother Orowa, without further ado, the floor is yours, my brother. I'll start it off with a question for the listeners. The Yi King, first of all, statement, the Yi King is an oracle system, but for those who might not know what oracles are, I don't want to assume any and everybody knows. What are oracles, Orowa?
Okay, well, let me first say again, thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with your listeners. And I should also mention that this is actually a fill-in spot for Ra'un Nefer Amen the First, who will be here in Washington this coming Sunday discussing this very topic based on his new book called The Yi King Praxis, 40 Years of Practical Insights into the Yi King. So we're very excited that he will be here, and it will be an opportunity for people to really get a great insight and opportunity to understand more about the Yi King in general, specifically oracles in general, and you know how we can tap into the divine within us in order to find out, well, what is it that God would have me do. So we subtitled or titled this presentation, God Knows Best, because what the Yi Jing is an oracle system. The word oracle means, or referring to speech or to call, right? So oracle is a process through which something communicates. Now, those of us who are into the spiritual understanding of the science understand that the spirit that's communicating through the oracle, well, let me rephrase that. But there are different levels of spiritual communication, I first should say. There are, in our system, we understand that our ancestors outlined 7 different levels to the spirit. And each level of the spirit provides us a different vehicle of expression. So think of the spirit as the vehicle of expression. Let's just make it really simple. Let's say you had 7 different bodies that you could live in. And each of your bodies has a different level of expression or a different kind of experience that it affords you. And a relatively good analogy would say that you wanted to travel. And one of your bodies is your feet. So you can use your feet to travel. And the experiences that you're going to have, the kinds of things you're going to see, are going to be relegated to that which you come in contact with when you're walking around. Now, let's say you have another vehicle, which is a bicycle. Now, you can go
to
the same place that you would go to on your feet, but the experience you're going to have on a bicycle is going to be different than the experience you'll have if you're walking. Now, let's say you have a car, and let's say you're traveling the same road. Well, the car is going to give you a different level of experience and exposure than you would have if you're doing a bike or a thing. Let's say you're then able to travel to the same place by boat. So, again, it's a different vehicle, another way of traveling, but a different kind of experience or expression. Let's say you could also fly to where you're going to go. So you're going to go to the same place, but the experience you're going to have, what you're going to come in contact with, how your level of interaction that you're going to have is going to be different because the vehicle is different, which is a critical point I'm trying to get to here. So the vehicle gives us different levels of expression. So our ancestors outlined that we have 7 different spiritual bodies and 7 different parts of the spirit. It's one spirit that has 7 different divisions. And each of these divisions gives a different level of communication or experience. So you can have communication, spiritual communication, on different levels, which will give you insight based on the circumstance from the perspective of that particular level. If someone were to describe you about your trip from Washington to Richmond by foot, the experience, the way you would explain that experience is going to be far different than it would be if you took the same trip by air. So the communication that you're going to have is going to be different based on the level of spirit that you're communicating with. So the point being there that there are a lot of different systems of divine communication, for lack of a better word, different oracle systems from all over the world. Indigenous peoples all over the world have intuited or been given through their spiritual intuition, their ancestral communications, whatever, different levels of tapping into the indwelling intelligence or the God within in order to get insight and guidance into how to address the affairs of their life. But not all oracle systems are the same. Not all oracle systems allow the same level of communication.
Okay.
So the Yi Jing is one of the oracle systems that allows us to tap into the higher parts of the spirit in order to get a clear communication from the Supreme Being or the God within us to intuit what and how we should go about doing what we do. So let's back up a little bit and talk more about the Yi Jing. Yi Jing is a Chinese system. It was developed from around 3000 BC or so by King Wen. And it's based on what are called the eight treatments. And it's
Brother Ora, I hate to interrupt. Ask you if you could speak. You sound just a little muffled. If you could just speak up just a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
It's based on the basis of the Yi Qing is eight trigons or eight expressions of energy or eight different ways in which energy communicates or expresses itself in the world. And
okay.
So you have this, the modalities of energy. You have hot, you have cold, you have moist, you have dry. So you have these combinations of energy fluctuation that the people use in order to intuit the answer to whatever question they were communicating. So each of these eight trigrams has a specific meaning that lends itself to understanding the answer to the question that's been posed. Now, so then it was later modified and lines were added to give further detail into what was being said, what the trigrams were saying as they were combined into these hexagrams. So then over the years, it has been modified. Around 500 BC or so, Confucius modified the system. And Confucius was an ethical system, a system of ethics, Confucianism, which was different than the system that was first put in place by the originators of the system, which was more ritualistic or shamanistic or based on spiritual communication. So there's been some modifications in the system over the years that have taken out some of the spiritual impact and modified messages based on the ideas of morality or ethics that Confucius did. Now, the Yi Qing, as you said, was developed in China and was first brought to the Western world and most by a translation by a man named Wilhelm Baines, or two guys. And the introduction to the book was written by the famous psychiatrist Carl Jung.
Mm-hmm.
And in his introduction, which would lead us to where we're trying to go with this discussion, Carl Jung asked the Yi how it would be received by the Western world. And the response he got was the 50th hexagram with the third line stressed. Now, the 50th hexagram means, it's called the Ting. And the Ting was a symbol for spiritual nourishment. So what the answer he received was that the book or the system itself is a system for spiritual nourishment. But the third line of the 50th hexagram says that the handle of the Ting is altered, meaning it can't be grasped properly. And so the fat of the pheasant, meaning the most nutritious part, cannot be eaten. So what God was communicating through the Yi Qing to Jung about how it will be grasped or used or understood in the Western world is that the system, the Western world, does not have the proper philosophies, proper approaches, proper understanding of spirituality in order to get true benefit from the system itself. And so it's been lumped in with other systems as divination systems, often spoken of as fortune-telling devices and that kind of thing. But it's far from the truth, and all it takes is for a person to really use the system, pose a number of questions, and you will understand the accuracy and the insight that you get from the process of going into the spirit world through the Yi Qing methodology in order to get clear insight into how you should approach whatever situation it is. Now, why is this important? Why should someone go to an oracle like the Yi Qing in order to get insight into what they're going to do. Let's say you want to get married, and what most people use as the basis for marriage is an attraction that they have on some level or another for another person. It could be an attraction, a physical attraction. It could be an attraction based on the person's personality type. It could be based on the person's intellectual accomplishments or their social accomplishments or social involvement. It could be based on any number of things. And people, those of us in the West who go to school, were taught to figure things out, quote-unquote, reason things out based on the facts, quote-unquote, that are presented before us. So I see someone and I get this response in my body. You know, my stomach feels a little queasy. You know, my legs get a little shaky. You know, I have trouble speaking. I have trouble sleeping. You know, all I can do is constantly focus. I can't focus because this person is always on my mind. Now, if you went to the doctor and didn't tell the doctor that you were had an attraction for someone, just give them the symptoms, the doctor would try to figure out what's going on with you. They'd be pulling drugs out the hat to give you this medicine to try to fix your problem because these are all symptoms of illness. But they've been interpreted falsely in Western culture as signs of love, signs of endearment. And so we base our decisions based on these visceral and emotional and sensual responses that we have, which are all conditioned, by the way, based on the environment and the culture, the family, the part of the country or whatever it is that you're raised in. And we make critical decisions based on these symptoms. And
true.
We wonder why over 50, 60% of marriages fail, over something like 80% of people these days who get in relationships, some astronomical number, are not even bothering to get married because they're afraid of the commitment, the response, et cetera. Everybody wants to be, you know, in a limbo, an unattached limbo state where if they need to get up and get out, there's nothing to hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why? Because there's no true way of knowing if this is the right person. Just because I feel these things in my body, just because of this person's economic status or their intellectual capabilities or whatever, none of these are in and of itself guarantees that this person is going to be a good mate for me in a long-term relationship. Because there's no way I can know. Now, let me just give you, I'm going to pull some statements out of the Yi King Practice book that will further highlight this, what we're talking about. So the scenario is, here you have an SAT, you have a high IQ, you're a bright person, you've been in school, you make good decisions, et cetera. But if you just use your brain and your so-called logical reasoning to get into a relationship, there are a lot of things that can happen. For example, after 5 or 10 years together, you could outgrow each other.
Mm-hmm.
After a year or so, you could discover that you were really not meant for each other. Your mate might lose his or her job or health or spiral down into a major depression that ruins the marriage forever. The person might develop a drinking habit or become violent or irresponsible. The person might wake up one day and discover that their career is not fulfilling and decides to go into a dead-end self-employment business or become a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The person might find him or herself again and join a commune that liberates him or her through spouse swapping. The person might become jealous of the attention you give to your children. The person might fall in love with someone else, learning that things of the heart cannot be prevented. The person might develop a gambling habit or a seven-year itch. The person, an upstanding and very straight individual, might lose his job at that point, where you are 3 months behind in the mortgage and disappear for 2 weeks, only to be found strung out in a crack den. The person might reset or resent the fact that your career has moved up to a high place while theirs is remained flat. The person's lifestyle might lead to sexual performance problems that have serious impact on the relationship. The two of you are just in your mid-40s. The person's lifestyle has affected his or her approach so much that the beauty that captivated you is far from gone wide. So there's all kinds of things that can happen in life. And there's no way that you can sit down and figure these things out ahead of making the decision to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everything may look good, may smell good, may sound good, may feel good at that moment. But you don't know what's going to take place 5 years down the road. You can't sit and logically calculate that out. You don't know what's going to take place 15 years down the road. It is not uncommon in the society for people to get divorced after 20, 25 years of marriage. So the question is, how can I insulate myself from the possible changes that are going to take place in the future? Change is a constant. Nothing remains the same. So if I'm going to move into a career path, a career goal, a marriage relationship, whatever it is, understanding that there are going to be factors and circumstances that happen that I have no control over that are going to impact the decision I make today, I need some way, or is there no way, of knowing ahead of time what could possibly happen to protect myself from possible problems. I mean, it's like the way they said, 9/11 changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
So before 9/11, when you went to the airport, you could run through, jump over turnstiles, run up to the gate, et cetera. Now you got to go and you take all your clothes off, you got to empty all your bags. I mean, it's a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
So because change is going to take place, I need a way, and fortunately, the ancestors of old, of ancient China and ancient Africa, spent time intuiting through their spiritual inspiration techniques and technologies to communicate with what we call the God within, whether you call it the subconscious mind, you know, whatever term you use, there's an intelligence that is not limited to the circumstances of today, the expressions of today. There's an intelligence that's able to see beyond today into where things are going to go in the future, and to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So the use of the importance of a system like the Yi King is to give us the opportunity to be forewarned about things, decisions that we're contemplating today that will help us to be prepared for the changes that are going to come tomorrow.
Well, that would lead me to the question, and I first want to say hello to and heads up to everybody that's tuned in, particularly members from the Osiriset Society. You know, as Brother Orwa mentioned, that this show, a preliminary or a preview to Shechem or Shechem, is coming to town, D.C. So we're going to give you all the information that you need to know about, you know, where he's going to be, what time, and all of the information that you need to get by there and to get to the book signing. It'll be an awesome event. I wish that I could be there, but we're going to make sure that you have enough information so that you can be there. But Orwa, I want to ask you this, because as I'm listening to you and you're explaining the Yi Ching and the, you know, the purpose of it to be able to basically to navigate, to have, a compass to kind of, again, navigate the waters of life. I mean, for example, very important decisions that we make based on the wrong things. Like, again, like you mentioned, marriage. You can marry somebody because they look good, because they have a good job, they're witty, they're funny, you know, all of those things. And then all of the things that you listed could go wrong, and you end up in divorce court. But where then does destiny come in? Because if we all have a destiny, could our destiny, and we can't avoid, I guess, the lessons that are to come upon our person as we are moving through life, there are certain things that are part of our destiny, certain lessons that we are, in fact, supposed to learn or need to learn. Then, so if we use the Yi Qing, for example, if I see a woman and I fall in love with this woman, but I'm wise enough to know that me just falling in love with her doesn't mean that she's the right one for me, and I consult the Yi Qing, and the Yi Qing gives, I get a reading that basically says, well, basically, in essence, you don't want to do that, Juwan. You really don't want to do that. But if I were to not have had the reading, and I did it, and I married her, then whatever lessons that presented themselves as a result of me marrying this wrong person, would that not have been part of my destiny?
Well, it becomes a part of your destiny. The thing is this. We all have the same destiny. And that destiny is to awaken the God within us, to become a God man or a God woman on earth. And there are different schools that can teach us this. There's the school, the spiritual school of ask God what's best for you at this point, particular point in time. And then there's the school of hard knocks. Now, you can learn through trial and error, but that's going to slow down your progress, as opposed to learning through intelligence, through the divine spirit, through wisdom.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have to experience crack to know that that's not a course I should take.
Right.
Now, I could take that course and have that experience and possibly learn that way, but what have I cut off? What other opportunities have I cut myself off from by taking the wrong path? Think of it this way. If I'm supposed to end up in Cincinnati, and I set out for Cincinnati, but along the road, I see an exit that says, come to Atlanta. We're giving away free land. And I said, oh, I'm going to check out Atlanta. So
right.
I go to Atlanta. Well, the question is this not a part of my, are the experiences I'm going to have a part of my destiny? Well, yes and no. The experiences you have, they're definitely part of your destiny, because you're going to learn through the missed travel, the missed decision, the wrong decision about the things that you need to cultivate in order to become a God man or God woman. But that doesn't mean that that is how you should be learning to become a God man or God woman.
Okay.
You know, so we're always going to, the potential for learning is always there. But some lessons you don't get a second chance to recover from.
Mm.
I mean, there are decisions that people make that literally end their life this time around. So, yeah, you're going to learn, hopefully, from that experience, but you will, it's going to only shorten, I mean, lengthen the time it takes you to reach your true goal, because now you have to reincarnate to pick up what all the things that you didn't accomplish in this lifetime.
Okay.
So if that's a good answer, I think, to your question.
I think it is. You did. That was definitely, definitely on point. Well, let me ask you this. With the Yi Qing, for those who might not know, I don't want to assume that everybody knows what the Yi Qing is or how the Yi Qing looks. You know, they're coins, correct? Some divination system, they're cards. Some people throw shells. I mean, but the Yi Qing, they're, for lack of a better term, would you say coins? Would that be the correct terminology for them?
Well, we use coins to consult the Yiki, but the Yiki is not the coins.
Okay.
Coins are just the methodology used to extract the symbols that communicate the answer. Yi King is a series of 64 hexagrams, which are constructs of eight trigrams, eight three-line figures. And the three-line figures and the hexagrams are all, the lines themselves are all expressions of the dual modalities of energy, yin and yang, positive and negative, male, female, masculine, feminine, etc. So the way that one consults the Yi today, because in ancient times there was different ways of consulting. There was a period of time where they used sticks, and they throw a bunch of sticks down the ground, and then you have to read the picture. There was another period where some people would take a hot iron and put it on a tortoise shell and crack it. And based on how the cracks in the shell happened, I mean, came out, they got the message in terms of what the solution to the issue was. Of course, you know, it led for a lot of turtle soup in the restaurants, but ultimately, you're gonna end up with not many tortoises. So today we just use three coins, you know, and the penny ain't going nowhere in spite of everything that's going on. So, but each coin has a head and a tail, or yin and yang, or a positive and a negative. So when you toss these three coins, you get either a 6, a 7, an 8, or a 9 configuration. Three times heads, which would be heads having a value of 2, would be 6. Three times tails would be 9. And then combinations, 2 heads, 1 tail, 2 tails, 1 head, would give you 8 and 7. So, and based on these numbers, the lines, you construct the hexagram. So you toss three coins 6 times, you get either 6, 7, 8, or 9, 6 times, and you construct this 6-line figure. Now, 6s and 8s are yin lines, 7s and 9s are yang lines. So everything in the world, all energy manifests itself through this duality. So the duality of these lines give us the energy configurations of the hexagrams themselves. So each trigram is going to have either all yang, all yin, or the various combinations of yin and yang, which gives you some energy, an interpretation or a vehicle to extract the meaning of the trigram. And then you combine the two trigrams to get the hexagram. So there's 64 hexagrams. And each line, then, either 6s or 9s, which are yin and yang respectively, are called stress lines. I mean, they change into the opposite. So you can get one 6-line figure, which can turn into any combination of other 6-line figures, or two hexagrams in one as a part of one answer. So the process of extracting the significance of the patterns that the spirit has communicated to us is where the skill of the diviner comes into play. And we should understand, when the Yi Ching was consulted by Jung and it said the fat of pheasants, not even the handle is altered, it's saying that there's no culture within Western culture to support the understanding of how the system works. It's a cultural process. I mean, to understand it, it takes years of training, cultural training. It's just like in Africa. There are many systems, divination systems in Africa. Probably the most famous is the Ifa system of Nigeria. So you just don't, you know, pick up some cowrie shells, throw them, and become an Ifa diviner. You start off as a child under the tutelage of a diviner, and you study for 20, 30 years or so before you're given the authority to consult for other people. So there's a cultural process in place to preserve and communicate the message and the understanding of the system itself. And that's lacking in the West. Everyone in the West thinks that Western education is the solution to coming up with the problems. But the reality is that Western education is the source of most of the problems that we face in the world today. We have a big problem with climate change. Why? Because of Western education. And why do I say that? The primary contributing factor to climate change, is what the scientists say, is man-made. It's through these hydrocarbons, et cetera. Now, what are hydrocarbons? These are things that people with PhDs developed. The most learned people in chemistry came up with these products using these hydrocarbons, which worked well for whatever they're supposed to be doing, but create this big problem that the whole Earth is going through a serious climatic issue because of the intelligence factor of man, Western man.
Mm-hmm.
So intelligence is the problem to the cause of the problem of the problems of the Earth. When we are over in this country now as African people, because the intelligent ones, those who studied at Cambridge and those other great universities in Europe, believed that we were less than human, that we should be beasts of burden, that we should come over here and work for free for them so they can make their wine, their beer, their rum.
Mm-hmm.
Those were intelligent people that created that, the Nazis that ran Germany. Those were the most learned people in Germany. So intelligence is not the solution to problems. In most cases, intelligence is the cause of a problem. So my point here is that the solution has to be man not relying on this Western education model to make decisions, all decisions in life, but to be able to cultivate and tap into the spirit as our ancestors developed these systems, as our ancestors did, in order to truly know what is the best thing to do in a particular case at a particular point in time. And that's the difference. Science is supposed to be about knowledge, but what science is in reality is trial and mostly error. And we all are living the result of this approach. So if I have a theory, then it's saying I don't know. I believe. Right? And supposedly, they're supposed to be able to work out the solution to that theory to know what the result is. But the problem is, because of their limited understanding of circumstance in time and space, it's the belief that if it works right now, then it's the right thing to do. And history shows so many times we're living the experience that what was good at that moment, quote unquote, was really a wrong decision, which has climatic and traumatic expressions and experiences for others later on down the road. And there's so many examples. We could go through DDT and, you know, all the drugs that are put out here and all those things that supposedly solve problems that in reality cause more problems. I mean, watch commercials on TV. Watch about these newest drugs. You have depression, so take the purple pill. It's supposed to solve this one problem, depression. But listen at the end of the message when they say, it could cause you to commit suicide, cause you to have a heart attack, cause your blood pressure to spike. There's about 10, 20 other problems that can come up from this one thing that's supposed to solve this one issue. Because we don't live in an isolation. Life is an integrated reality. Our ancestors in Kemet, through the concept of Ma'at, communicated that the world is an interdependent and an interrelated reality. everything affects everything else. There is no one-to-one cause-effect correspondences. There's a cause which has many effects. Now, you may not see the effects, but as we said at the beginning of the show, God knows. So we, if we go to God, then God can say, yeah, this might look good, she might look good, he might look good right now. But that's not a course you should follow because X, Y, and Z in the future is going to alter this equation, not for the better. So take another course to follow.
Well, Aquia Shepsnitier had a question, and she just wrote it down for me to ask you, and that was, how do the 11 laws work with the I Ching?
Okay, that's a good question. Within our about community, and what we're talking, let me give some more background onto this, because this book is just not another book about the I Ching. There are a lot of books out there about the I Ching. There's I Ching, all kinds of I Ching books. What separates this book from every other book that's out there is that the material that's in this book is based on a synthesis of 40 years of thousands of people practicing this system. So the responses, the understanding, the answers that you get when you understand and practice the I Ching, use the I Ching from the I Ching practice system or the Harlem River arrangement, as it's called, is different than what you'll get if you just go and buy another I Ching book. So this is not another I Ching book. Because this book integrates the understanding, the laws, the spiritual laws that our ancestors in Kemet organized to help us guide and develop these spiritual faculties within us, as well as the ability to communicate with the divine intelligence and through the symbolism of the yin and yang correspondences of the 64 hexagrams, understand what's the best approach to move forward. Now, I mentioned it back earlier on that the earlier text, the initial text, the initial construct of the system was a shamanistic or a spiritual system, which was changed by Confucius. So the spiritual principles, values, understanding, the insights that were present in the earlier I Ching have been taken out, which is why to answer to the question, the 11 laws of Kemet, by incorporating the 11 laws as the basis, the spiritual foundation for working with the system, we're able to return the spirituality, the spiritual understanding that the I Ching was initially organized on the level that it was organized to communicate from the beginning. So we use the I Ching, we've been using this book, like I said, it's over 40 years of practical insight as a society, but the author, Ron Ephraim Men, actually was using it 10 years before Osiris Set came into existence. So this book is a compilation of 50 years of his understanding and practice and synthesis and approach to this oracle. So we can't reemphasize this point enough, that this book is like no other I Ching book out there. And if you want to truly learn this system from the spiritual foundation that was initially created, as many other oracle systems are so created or intuited or developed, I guess is a better word, then this is the only book on the market that will give you that ability. Now, we use the I Ching in combination with another oracle system called the Medinetir, which Ron Ephraim Men brought to the world in 1985. So we've been using that one for about 30 years.
Okay.
And the I Ching
is it better to use?
Years.
Is it better? I'm sorry, brother. Is it better to use the I Ching, the Yi Qing in conjunction with the Menudo Terre, or separate is fine. I mean, either or.
We use
or,
them both. We use them. We use in conjunction because, again, the spiritual philosophy and ideals of the Yi Qing that have been recorded and transcribed have been, the spirituality has been removed. So it's with combination of the, using the Menudo Terre along with it that we're able to understand the spiritual basis for the communication that the Yi Qing is giving us and how then to effectively use the spirit in order to be successful at the course. Because it's one thing to get good guidance. It's another thing to be able to follow that guidance for the successful conclusion. So just because I'm interested in this person, I want to marry this person. So let's say I go to God, I go to Yi Qing, and I get a response that indicates this is a course I can follow. But it doesn't mean that, you know, hunky dory, just get the 50 anniversary wedding cake ready. It means that I'm going to be given guidelines. Both of us are going to be given guidelines that each of us need to grasp and cultivate. There are lessons, the spiritual practices, there's meditations, there's all kinds of things that I'm going to need to do, that we're going to need to do as a collective, as a in our relationship, so that the relationship itself is successful. Because there's really no such thing. The relationship is the people, the two people coming together. People want to blame relationships for the problems. No, the problems is the people.
Right. True.
That relationship didn't fail. The people failed to make the relationship work.
Mm.
And the people failed, why? Because they didn't have the proper guidance. They didn't have the spiritual insight. They didn't have the techniques to allow them to navigate the change and the challenges that are going to come up in any situation during the course of our life. So because we don't have these things, then we want to, when things begin to fall apart, we say, oh, the relationship was bad. No, the
right.
People function badly in the relationship.
You know, this is so powerful. You know, I know that I wish we had more time. I know we've got about 15 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we give people the information on the workshop that's coming up on Sunday. Well, not the workshop, but the lecture and the book signing that's coming up on this Sunday. But if I may ask one more question before we get to that, and that would be concerning Bazi reading and how that might even tie into, because a lot of things work in conjunction with one another. Would a Bazi reading be, could work in conjunction with the I Ching? Because it seems like a lot of things are working together here, and that even though they might work individually, that coupled with something else, that something else could actually enhance and give a deeper insight into the query or the question that you may actually be asking or trying to get an answer for.
Okay, well, that's a long discussion. I mean, you've had whole shows just on Bazi.
Right.
But let me try to create a short little synthesis, meaning that, again, the Yi Qing is based on the understanding that is extracted from these eight trigrams. Now, these eight trigrams and the arrangement of these trigrams are the basis of the sciences that came out of ancient China. They're the basis of traditional Chinese medicine. They're the basis of Bazi. They're the basis of the Yi Qing. So then, through understanding and studying one of these systems and learning these trigrams and how they interact and relate to one another and applying that then to Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine will give indications and further insight into the use of herbs. Applying that to Baizi will give further insight into the configuration of energy that was present when the person was born and how that energy modulates through that person's life. So yes, the short answer to your question is yes, they synthesize, they integrate with one another. As I said earlier, everything is interconnected and interrelated. And so they are all a part of the ancient Chinese spiritual philosophical system that were cultivated 5,000 years ago, 3,000 BC, etc., in ancient China. And there's a whole discussion about how those spiritual systems got there and who brought them there that is long along the way. But suffice it to say that these same principles, these same concepts were cultivated in Africa prior to that. But they in China, they were modulated and changed or morphed or developed into other systems. And so we don't want to take any credit away from what the Chinese people did with the base knowledge that they had. So some fantastic development, fantastic system. But the same foundation of principles was initially cultivated in Africa, in the Nile Valley.
Well, Brother Orwa, can the Yi Qing be misused? For example, if somebody asks a question and they don't get the answer that they want, you know, and they may try to manipulate the answer, so they may say, well, maybe you didn't understand me, so they ask the question in another way. Should the questions be posed in a particular way so that you know that, okay, yeah, you asked it right. And you got the answer to your question. No, you didn't answer. You didn't ask it wrong, so you don't, you know, throw the coins again to try to get a new answer.
Okay. Well, let me first say, Yi Qing and the Meditera, these are not fortune telling devices.
Right.
So you don't go to them to find out, you know, is the number going to be so and so forth. These are devices, tools that are designed to spiritually guide us through the experiences of life towards the awakening of our divinity. So they're spiritual tools, and they're only understood ultimately by people who cultivate the spiritual philosophical foundation on which they're based. Mm-hmm. And best applied and understand, as I said earlier, these are cultural tools. These are things that are developed through the culture. I gave the example of how in Nigeria, a future Babalawo begins as a child, as an apprentice, just, you know, cleaning cowrie shells. You know, and then 20, 30 years of practice and training and learning the system before he's able to then go out and practice. So, yeah. It requires a cultural and, at best, a communal experience in order to guide people through the proper use and understanding of these systems. So, no, yes, you can definitely misinquire. That's a good word. You can definitely misunderstand, which is why we teach everyone the oracle systems, but we don't allow everyone to begin to consult until they've gone through years of training to understand, to demonstrate that they understand how, because this is a serious business. If people are coming to you with life-challenging situations and you're giving them guidance, then how you respond, what you tell them, can be really significant. There's nothing more potentially harmful to a person than entering into a marriage.
Right.
Whole lives have been destroyed behind that situation. So it's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken with any kind of triviality. It's something to be understood. It's a very serious system, and it's something that should not be fiddled with and played with by novices. So, yeah, we teach people, everyone, the system, but we counsel everyone that until you have some years of working with it, that you need to run, once you get to the point of doing your own readings, you need to be seeking guidance and counsel from someone who has more experience, who can give you the nuances of what's being said to you. Because, again, you know, the wrong choice, the wrong decision, the wrong move can have serious consequences in a person's life.
Absolutely. Well, Brother Orwa, you know that we, to the listeners, you know, we mentioned it earlier in the show that Shechem Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen, is coming to town, D.C. He's coming to do a book signing, and is it a lecture that he's doing with the book signing as well, Orwa?
Yes, that's our. He never just comes to sign books. He always comes to sign the book, but he also gives an in-depth explanation of what the book is about, so that when you go to read the book, you have a framework around which to understand what's being said in the book. So he'll sign the books from 4 o'clock to 5, and then the lecture will begin at 5.
Okay, and that's going to be this Saturday at, this Sunday, the 21st of September.
Yes.
And can you tell people where that's going to be?
It's at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. And for people who want more information, they can call 202-630-2507. That's 202-630-2507. And the address, again, is 6224 3rd Street Northwest in D.C. That's Sunday the 21st at 4 p.m.
I want to encourage everybody in the area, and even if you're not in the area, and if you can make it to D.C., make it to D.C., okay, to attend the lecture and the book signing. Shechem and Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen, is, in this day and age, he is a, I'm trying to find the right word to describe my brother. he's one of those people that in this time, that, you know, every era has that person in that time that is bringing truth and knowledge. And, you know, Shechem and Shechem is that guy, that man, that king in this time. So if those of you who've never had an opportunity to hear him speak live, if you haven't even, you might not have ever read a book by Shechem and Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen, or you've heard of Shechem and Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen, but you want more information, get by to hear him live. And, you know, these are one of these people that the information that they bring are life-changing. And that's kind of what I wanted to say, that people have situations that are going on in their life, and he is the leader of an organization of thousands of worldwide that have changed their lives and the lives of their, you know, the loved ones, their family members, and have found a path by which now they have and are connected to God in a more meaningful way than they had prior to coming into this information. And so, Shechem and Shechem, and to the priests and priestesses of the Osiris Set Society, I'd like to say Tua Neter, because I know that for myself, the information that I'm constantly getting, even just from doing the shows on the 11 Laws of God, is life-changing. And so I just want to thank you, Brother Orwa. Thank Shechem and Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen, all of the priests and priestesses of the Osiris Set Society that do the teaching, that disseminate the information, because it is life-changing. And I definitely want to, again, encourage everybody within the sound of my voice, if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and you can make it to D.C. to hear Shechem and Shechem. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to, you know, the society. You owe it to the community to get by there, to make it by there, get this information, get the book, read the book, and apply the information. Brother Orwell, any parting remarks for our listeners?
No, I just want to reiterate and you know, everything that you just said. And again, thank you for giving us the forum and looking forward to seeing everyone on Sunday. And we'll also announce on Sunday the new class schedule for this fall. So, you know, come out, share, and enjoy.
Brother, we got a couple. We got like 2 minutes left. So I'll ask. So are you teaching classes on the I Ching in D.C.? Will that be one of the courses that will be offered?
It surely will.
All right. All right. All right. I heard Aquia Chesnutier just said yes. So sounds like she's interested. I know I am too. And so we're definitely going to take part in that. Brother Orwa, again, you know, just this information that you've shared today is enough to, you know, get everybody interested. Because, again, everybody that's listening, wouldn't you like to know that there's a way that you can communicate with God to all of the life's challenges, situations that present themselves? I mean, Orwa gave the example of a marriage, but even if it comes down to a job, you know, should you take this job? Should you take this trip? You know, should you buy this house? I mean, just all of these situations are situations that you can have answers to, you know. And so with this particular book, get it, this particular system, get it, learn it, understand it, so that you can have a way of going through life without having to do the hitting and the missing and the hoping, you know, hoping you got it right. You know, like shooting an arrow in the dark and hoping that you hit the target. You know, you want to know that, hey, I'm getting the answers, and God hears me and God answered me. Brother Orwa, again, I thank you, brother. To all of the listeners, go back and check the archives out. Brother Orwa is a regular guest on Jawanza for Life. He's recovering the 11 laws of God. He comes on monthly, and as a matter of fact, on the 30th of this month, we'll be speaking about the law of Oset. Okay, so check your calendar, mark it. It'll be from 7 to 8 standard time. Brother Orwa, again, thank you. Thank you to all of the.
Okay, heads up.
Thank you. Okay, heads up. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. Okay. Everybody, get to the lecture. Get the book. My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Peace.